In the 19th century, the greatest tightrope walker in the world was a Frenchman who went by the stage name of Charles Blondin. On June 30th, 1859, Blondin became the first man in history to walk on a tightrope across Niagara Falls. Over 25,000 people gathered to watch him walk 1,100 feet suspended on a tiny rope 160 feet above the raging waters. He worked without a net or a safety harness of any kind. The slightest slip, fatal. And when he reached the Canadian side, the crowd erupted in a joyous roar. That wasn't it. In the days that followed, Blondin would walk across the falls many times. Once, he walked across on stilts. You heard me. Stilts. Another time, he took a chair and a stove with him, and he sat down midway across the rope, cooked an omelet, and when it was ready, he lowered the breakfast to passengers on the deck of the Maid of the Mist. It's in the newspapers. Once, he carried his manager across, riding piggyback. Once, he pushed a wheelbarrow across, laden with 350 pounds of cement. On another occasion, he asked the cheering spectators if they thought he could push a man across, sitting in a wheelbarrow. A mighty roar of approval erupted from the crowd, and spying a man cheering very loudly, he asked, "Sir, do you think I could safely carry you across the falls in this wheelbarrow?" "Yes, of course," he responded, and Blondin said with a big smile, "Then get in." The man refused. And that kind of makes it clear, doesn't it? It's one thing to believe that a man can walk across by himself. It's another thing to believe that a man could safely carry you across, but it's something else entirely to get in the wheelbarrow yourself. Belief is an intellectual proposal. Faith is a spiritual commitment. Belief without faith is simply a platitude, nice sounding words, just a sentiment. But supported by faith, by utter trust, belief becomes power. We can believe that God exists, but that's an intellectual assertion. When we support that belief with faith, when we live our lives based on trust, God becomes more than a concept. God becomes power. Does your life, the way you live it, show only belief in Jesus Christ? Or does faith in Jesus Christ drive everything you do? How do I translate belief into faith? How do I bring God's power into my life? How can I grow in faith? Here are four ways. Number one, faith grows by choosing God's dream for my life. Belief is seeing the dream God has for your life. Faith is trusting God to empower you to go after that dream. I mean, God equipped you the way you are, with interests and skills and limitations and weaknesses, so that you are able to fulfill what God wants from you. So what is God's dream for you? It's probably bigger than you imagine, because God is bigger than you probably imagine. Figuring out God's dream for you reminds me of those old Polaroid instant photos. You might not realize this, some of the younger folks in the group. Photographs used to start out on film that had to be chemically processed, and then the images were transferred from that film to photographic paper. Well, the Polaroid company invented a revolutionary process that imprinted the image directly onto the photographic paper inside the camera. Now, when the paper came out, the picture started out pretty fuzzy. But in 30 seconds, 60, you know I'm blowing? Anybody? The liquids had to evaporate. After a minute, 2 minutes, that image became clearer and sharper. And it's like that as we try to discern God's dream for us. It doesn't happen instantly. You don't sit down and say, I'm going to figure this out right now. It might take you years. It might take decades even to discern what God's dream is. But maybe that dream will take decades or even a lifetime to accomplish. It might take that long because God has a big dream for us, a dream that we could never accomplish on our own. As we heard Carol read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, God's power working in us is able to do much more than we can ever ask for or even think of. We need God's power working in us to achieve the magnificent things that God envisions for us. So faith grows by choosing God's dream for my life. That's number one. Number two, faith grows by being willing to risk failure. Is there anyone here who does not have a can of WD-40 at home or in the garage or something like that? Yeah, WD-40. Everybody's got it. It's a rust-inhibiting lubricant. It was invented by a small company in San Diego back in the 50s. Its original purpose was for use in the aerospace industry, for rockets. The product got its famous name, WD-40, because it took the scientists 39 unsuccessful attempts before they were able to create the substance that they envisioned. 39 unsuccessful tries. Surely you've heard that Thomas Edison is said to have had 1,000 unsuccessful attempts before he struck on the right combination of materials and techniques to create the incandescent light bulb. And no less than Dr. Seuss received not one, not two, not 27 publisher rejections. 27 for his first book, To Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street. When you decide to pursue God's dream for your life, you need to be willing to risk failing. Now, it's easy to say, well, failure is okay, but it doesn't feel okay. And yet, when we have setbacks, when our goals don't materialize right away, when what we're striving for eludes us, what happens? We learn. We learn what doesn't work. Pursuing God's dream for our lives by faith enables us to trust in God even when things don't turn out as we intended. Although God doesn't throw failure at us as a punishment, we trust that somehow God will offer us an opportunity to learn and to grow when by faith we take risks in our effort to achieve God's plan for our lives. So, faith grows when we choose to pursue God's dream for our life and when we are willing to risk failing in attaining that dream. Number three, faith grows when I expect God to bless me and to use me. Now, this six-week sermon series is inspired by the Daniel Plan and the 115 people who are on this 40-day journey toward healthier living. for 4 weeks already. These people have been meeting weekly for support and encouragement as they seek to make changes in their lives, changes that will yield healthier bodies and minds and spirits. But let me ask a question to those of you in the Daniel plan. This is actually a question that applies to all of you here in some way or another. Do you expect that the Daniel plan is going to be a mere 6-week blip that will soon disappear from the radar screen of your life? Or have you found the faith that God wants to keep working in your life to encourage you and empower you? Daniel planner or not, faith grows when you expect God to be absolutely active in your life, blessing you and using you for God's purpose. Not everyone wants their faith to grow. When Jesus first took his traveling ministry back to his hometown of Nazareth, the people couldn't believe that the little boy they'd watched grow up was now filled with God's Spirit and power. They couldn't imagine Jesus bringing God's power to them, to bless them, to use them. And so, as Matthew's gospel reports, Jesus did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. When Paul wrote a letter to the Philippian Christians, he had been imprisoned because of his preaching. Paul commented in the letter, "My deep desire and hope is that I shall never fail in my duty, but at all times, and especially right now, I shall be full of courage so that with my whole being I shall bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die." Now, I'm sure Paul would have preferred freedom over imprisonment. But by faith, he was convinced that God would figure out a way to bless him and use him even while behind bars. Figure out a way to bless him and use him in order to spread the gospel. And when the opening verse of Hebrews chapter 11 declares, "To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see." When it declares that, it echoes Paul's confidence that faith grows when we expect God to use us and bless us. Finally, number 4. Faith grows as we resolve never to give up. How many times the Bible urges us never to give up? Psalm 31, verse 24. "Be brave, be strong, don't give up. Expect God to get here soon." Proverbs 24, 16. "The righteous may fall 7 times, but still get up." Galatians 6, 9. "So let us not become tired of doing good. For if we do not give up, the time will come when we will reap the harvest." And as we heard this morning from the gospel reading, the father of the boy with the chronic seizures had been seeking remedies for years, and even though nothing had worked so far, he hadn't given up when he encountered Jesus. He not only believed that something could be done, he had faith that Jesus possessed the power to do it. And what's more, even as the father presented his son for yet another attempt at healing, the father prayed that his faith would be strengthened even more. This past week, a friend sent a video from the TV show America's Got Talent. I must confess, I've never seen the show. I understand it's wildly popular. But this video that my friend sent me featured a singer named Mandy Harvey. And I'd like us to watch right now to see why this particular performer exemplifies how faith grew because she refused to give up. And Phil, would you bring down all the dimmers in the bottom, please? Speaker in the front. We're going to have to restart this. It worked at 8:30. First of all, hold it down here. Where is your speaker? It's right here. Can you turn that up, please?
So basically, I got sick and my nerves deteriorated.
So, you were singing before you lost your hearing?
Yeah, I've been singing since I was 4. So, I left music after I lost my hearing and then figured out how to get back into singing with muscle memory, using visual tuners, and trusting my pitch.
So your shoes are off because you're feeling the vibration. Is that how you're following the music?
Yeah, I'm feeling the tempo, the beat through the floor.
And Mandy, what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing a song that I wrote called Try.
Okay, can you tell me what it's about?
After I lost my hearing, I gave up. But I want to do more with my life than just give up. So.
Okay, well, look, this is your moment, and good luck.
Okay.
The sky is gray, much more than it is blue.
I'm selling tissues up here if you want to dab your eyes, I guess. Faith transforms belief into power. Because we open ourselves to God's power working through us. Faith grows when you choose to embrace God's dream for your life, when you are willing to risk failing, when you expect God to bless you and use you, and when you refuse to give up on God's dream for your life, when you undergird what you believe with the trust of faith, God gives you power to accomplish more than you can dare or dream. Amen.